from the Twin Peaks Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
That's right, In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Appreciate all of you folks getting involved on the question of the day. We had more stuff coming through. Another person said if they're rooting for the Texans or Titans, they said awful. That's mm-hmm. that's different.
Lopez ever compliments the Astrodome.
Yeah. Someone else mentioned the idea that if you see them cutting the grass, call the doctor. Okay, fair enough.
This might be a full stop moment. This might be a full stop moment.
Oh, no.
Something that I found out in that last break.
Uh-huh.
That is truly incomprehensible. Like, truly incomprehensible.
All right, I'm going to steal it from you. I have never mowed a lawn before as an able-bodied man. Yes, go ahead and judge me. That is fair. That
Figgy,
is fine.
He has never mowed a single yard.
It is not because I have refused to mow yards. I want to make that clear. I don't want y'all to go and impugn my work ethic and those types of things.
Nobody's questioning that.
No, I'm sure they are.
Just the marvel
I'm
of
I'm sure
all.
There are. I'm sure there's someone out there that's like, what kind of man are you?
Never.
Yeah. And look, I understand where you get there. I just have never had opportunity to. When my folks had a house, we never had a lawnmower. And so it got paid. It got paid somebody else to do it.
That's incredible.
I got to confess to, I'm in the same boat because we used to rent a house.
And never?
So I never. Nope.
Not once.
Nope. Now, I did cut some trees and stuff like that as a kid, but
I pull weeds.
Yeah,
if me that too. Makes you feel any better.
Yeah.
I have.
Not really.
Okay.
All right. Not really.
All right. Very good. let's see what our guy, Adam Spillane, has here. Are we not doing the baseball spell intro? Oh, okay. There it is.
There we go.
Figgy's on.
We got to, man.
Who they want? Baseball Spo. Baseball Spo. Baseball Spo. Baseball Spo.
There he goes. It's Adam Spillane, our Astros insider, after the Astros clinch the AL West Championship. Spo, are you awake? Are you, you know, aware? Because it felt like you had a long night.
It's not too bad. I've had worse.
Okay.
Trust me. I've had much worse doing this stuff.
Are you starting at second base today?
No. They might ask me to play third base by the time the game ends, but as of now, I am not in the lineup. I'm available, though. I have told them I'm available. It will just be very expensive for them.
Hit for your leg. That's the way that you got to go. No, I mean, for you, what's the most important thing, or what was the most interesting thing that you got to experience when it came to last night? What stood out for you?
I think it was probably just how emotional Joe Espada was, both as they were like securing the last out and then just talking to him in the clubhouse last night. It meant a lot to him, obviously. I mean, he's been through a lot of these, both with the Astros and also when he was with the Yankees, they made the playoffs. But this is the first time for him as a manager, and this was not easy. Like this was a very difficult road to get to an AL West title when you look at how the season started. 7-19, 12-24, 10 games out. He was getting shredded, you know, locally by a lot of people, especially on the station, and by fans, and they were able to maintain it, and they survived it, and they played through it, and they played for him. And I think that a lot of managers, especially first-year managers, rookie managers, could have lost the team, and they could have panicked, and they could have stopped being who they were and being the person they were that, you know, when they got the job and been someone else. That's how you lose the team. He stayed positive, and I think that that's how they were able to overcome this thing. Obviously, you know, ultimately it's about the players. The players are the ones that win and lose games, but I think that Espada just being as steady as he was when things got bad, I think that spoke just a lot to him and a lot to just the way that the players respect him.
What we came up with our opinions on this in the first segment. I want to ask you, you're there all the time. What two or three things did it? Because they were like, obviously, as you just mentioned, I mean, they were so far back. Like, what two or three things over the course, as you look back, kind of not turned the tide, but really over the course of the season did it for them?
So I think the two big things were just that the one big thing was that the pitching stabilized. And, you know, you look in April, really, I mean, the starting pitcher might have been good on a given day and in the bullpen would give up a lead. Or the starting pitchers, I mean, they had multiple games, in the span of a week, where their starting pitcher couldn't get out of the first inning. Remember, it was there was mm-hmm. the Blair Henley game in Arlington, and then the Hunter Brown game in Kansas City in the same week. They couldn't get a starting pitcher out of the first inning. So the starting pitching really stabilized, and it became a strength for them. And I think when you look from the end of May through to where we are now, they probably had the best team ERA in Major League Baseball. So just the starting pitching, Framber Valdez got off to a rough start. He obviously pitched great the rest of the way. Spencer Arrighetti had his moments. Hunter Brown turning into a high-level starting pitcher once the calendar turned to May. That was obviously really important. And then the guys in the back end of the bullpen, they stabilized. And, Hader and Presley and Abreu did not get off to good starts. That has since changed. And then you have just the trade deadline. And the acquisition of Kikuchi has obviously been huge to go 9-0 in those games. I mean, that was basically a fifth starter spot that they were giving to Sean Dubin to make spot starts, or to a guy in Jake Voss who was drafted last year and in his second year of pro ball. Like, to get 9 straight wins out of that spot, I think was so important. And obviously just the Kikuchi trade was a big reason for that. And then the additions that they made after the trade deadline. I mean, Jason Hayward coming out of nowhere after he got DFA'd by the Dodgers. He makes 2 huge plays last night, the catch in left field and then the homer. Ben Gamble, before he got hurt, was really good. And then Hector Neris just giving them a veteran bullpen guy who, he's not what he was, but he's a guy that they trust, and he's a guy that can go get big outs when they need him. I don't think they want Hector Neris pitching in the 7th inning of a close playoff game anymore, but if they need him in a big spot, they do trust him.
We're talking to our guy, Adam Spillane, Baseball Spo, here in Loop Sports Radio 610. And looking now that the Astros have solidified their spot in the postseason, there's a couple of things. One, they can kind of give some rest, as Espada mentioned, after the game. And two, we have to figure out who they will be facing off against in that wild card round, seeing as they're locked into third. There's a few teams that could possibly see: the Tigers, the Royals, the Twins, even the Mariners. These Mariners mm-hmm. still within kind of maybe a little bit of a long shot, but within range. Which one of those would you say is the best and the worst possible matchups for these Astros?
Yeah, and you have to throw in the Red Sox too. I think True. if you're them, you probably want to play one of the AL Central teams, just because not a lot of experience with either one of those teams, with Kansas City or with Detroit. I don't know if I'm them if I want to play Seattle, just because these two teams know each other so well, and they have not exactly, I mean, even though they swept the Mariners in the playoffs 2 years ago, those were 3 very close games that could have gone either way. So I don't know if they'd want to play Seattle. They're going to wind up losing the season series with the Mariners anyways this year. And, I guess maybe the one benefit to playing Seattle is that they'll have to empty the tank when it comes to their starting pitchers this weekend just to make the playoffs. Kansas City is really struggling right now. They won last night. They needed 10 innings just to score a run against the Nationals. But once you get past Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez, it's not a lineup that really scares you. I don't know, for me, if they have a starting pitcher that really scares you. The bullpen hasn't been very good either. So I don't think I'd be necessarily terrified to play that team. And then you have the Tigers, who I don't know if they have anyone on their roster that has been in the playoffs. And obviously it's Tarek Skubal at the top of the rotation, but they're a weird team, so that's something that would make you nervous about the Tigers, is that, they obviously have Skubal, and then they're using openers and piecing together 27 outs to win these games. It's not a very good offensive team. Aside from Riley Green, Kerry Carpenter has had a really good year in kind of a part-time role. They were sellers at the trade deadline. There was so much talk about the Astros getting Jack Flaherty. Flaherty goes to the Dodgers, and the guy that they got back from L.A. has turned into their starting shortstop.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to expect from a Detroit team. The Astros haven't seen the Tigers in a while. Obviously, it's a very different team now than what it was when the Astros saw them last. And there's the A.J. Hinch aspect of it, where, it's an A.J. Hinch revenge series possibly. But right now, it would be Detroit. Right now, Detroit and Kansas City have kind of created a bit of space between them and the other teams in that 5 and 6 spot. And then Kansas City would have the tiebreaker over the Tigers if it comes to that.
Spo, we appreciate you greatly. In 30 seconds or less, which is an unfair way of putting this up to you, priorities for the Astros in these final 4 games?
Get guys rest and get guys healthy. Chaz McCormick took BP on the field today. He said he felt okay. He won't play in Cleveland, but it does sound like he will play once the postseason arrives. And we'll have to see about Yordan Alvarez, because obviously they're going to need him. And I don't know, he didn't seem all that confident that he'd be able to play in Cleveland. And if he can't play in Cleveland, I don't know if he'd be able to play next week. So that's the big one.
We appreciate you greatly. Go get some more rest, my man.
We got a game here in, yeah. what, 2 hours, and we got a spot out here in 5 minutes. So there's no rest.
All right.
Yeah. We rest when we die, Reggie.
Oh, yes, God. You're one of those guys.
Look, I was saying, because, again, we got you playing middle infield, so I wanted you to get ready for the game. But whatever,
and
man.
And by the way, we got the lineup, and it's not that it's a hangover lineup, but you got Bregman.
Business as usual.
Bregman, Pena, Singleton, Diaz. I skipped Diaz, Caratini, Hayward, Whitcomb, Dubon, Myers, and Kikuchi on the mound.
Yeah, I think you might see Alex Bregman get taken off like during the game so he can get a nice ovation from the crowd. But remember, they're playing a man short on the bench, so they kind of have to play more guys than you would expect.
Yeah.
There you go. Adam Spillane. Appreciate you.
You got a chance, Adam. You got a chance.
I still think you should get out there, buddy. Yeah. Go ahead.
My hamstring's sore, but I'm ready.
All right. Well, that means he's going to have to lose the leg. Appreciate you, man. Talk to you later. There he goes. Adam Spillane, Baseball Insider, getting ready for the finale of Astros Mariners, as if anyone really and truly cares about the outcome of that one. All right, coming up next in the loop, let's go around the NFL and talk about various things, including a player for the Jaguars, who you will not have to see this weekend. We'll talk about that and more next.